Hey, beautiful people. I'm Sarah, and welcome to my show, Ignited by Inner Beauty, a podcast that is setting the world on fire with body positivity, female empowerment, and self-love. If you need some feel-good vibes and a reminder of just how beautiful you truly are, then you came to the right place. I'm so excited to share what's in store for you today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of Ignited by Inner Beauty. I am so excited for this episode because I got to speak with the wonderful and fabulous Bree Campos of Body Image with Bree. You may have seen her on social media or her podcast talking about her body image coaching or just the work that she does for body grieving. And I had such a fantastic conversation with her. It really opened my eyes to just a whole new way to think about our bodies and relate to them. I think so often we are just infiltrated with the body positive space that's can sometimes be a sort of toxic positivity, right? You're like hit over the head with love your body, you know, just love yourself. And she kind of has the tools that you need to really in a more realistic way feel your feels, grieve your body, maybe the body you wish you had, the body you had when you were in high school that you no longer have, whatever it is, and just have the tools to live life in a really fulfilling way that just gives you the tools for survival. And not only that, but just to thrive, surviving and thriving in the world, as she talks about and mentions how now, you know, she lives this extremely fulfilling life, much more so than when she was at her smallest body size. And I just so appreciate that sentiment. I learned so much from her. I so appreciated her coming on the show. And I know you'll love what she has to say. So without further ado, here is Bree. Well, thank you so much, Bree, for joining us on Ignited by Inner Beauty. I am so thankful to have you here. So why don't you start us off and tell our audience a little bit about who you are and how you are ignited by inner beauty.
I would love to. First of all, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so honored to be a guest. If people don't know me, my name is Brianna, but most people know me by my nickname, which is Bree. I am the owner of Body Image with Bree, and I love talking all things body image, body healing, and most importantly, body grief. If I had to answer in a question, like what ignites my inner beauty, I think for me recently, it has been allowing myself to fall in love with the things that I love. I think for so long, I presented a front of who I thought I should be or who I wanted the world wanted me to be. And so like recently, I've just been doing a lot of reading and a lot of singing. And it fills my cup. And I feel like it allows me to be my true self. So that's how I would define it.
That's so nice. Yes. Allowing yourself to do what you love. That's so great. I love it. Fills your cup. That's so good. What a great like visualization in a way of like inner beauty, right? Like fills you up and yeah. Wonderful. So tell me a little bit about your podcast, your work with Body Image with Bree. Tell me about what it means to grieve your body for those who may not be familiar with what you're getting at with that term.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, I'm a mental health counselor in the state of New Jersey. I transitioned to coaching because my favorite, exciting, soulmate, dreamy clients were the ones who wanted to work on body image. And as a provider in this space, I just found that there was a lack of education on the tangibility of how do we heal body image, right? We hear these like tropes of like, love yourself and your body image is the last step to come, or let's put your fears on the back burner. And I know for myself, as somebody who exists in a large or super fat body, I couldn't put it on the back burner because it was on the front burner. It was in the forefront of, I am afraid of my body changing. I'm afraid of dealing with my body And yet I still have to live my life. And so one of the things that I've really discovered in my own healing was the concept of body grief. So if you're not familiar with body grief, my working definition, and I have it written out here, I always write it down so I can read it the same exact way. But my definition for body grief is the perceived loss that causes distress accompanied with body change. I'll repeat it one more time. Body grief is the perceived loss that causes distress accompanied with body change. A lot of times when we hear the word grief, we usually correlate it to death and dying, but that's bereavement. Grief is about loss that causes distress. And so for those of us who are experiencing body grief, it usually is around a change in our body that is out of our control, and that change is distressful. This definition works for kids who are going through puberty. It goes through people who are going through perimenopause and menopause, pregnancy. It works for somebody who develops a chronic illness, and something that used to work one way does not work that way anymore. It is a change and in the body, and in that body, it now is a distressful experience. And so what I do when I work with people with grief is instead of rushing into the reframe, instead of rushing to the body acceptance, I look at it through the stages of grief, which if you're familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief, acceptance is the final stage, not the first one. And that to be said, like the stages aren't linear. Like we don't go from one to the next to the next. What I find is that those who are sort of teetering on the edge of the body positive, fat positive, health at every size world and diet culture, they're stuck in what I call the bargaining phase. The bargaining phase of grief of, but maybe I can still fix this. Maybe this doesn't have to be my reality. And the only thing that does is it allows you to pass with privilege and allows you the ability to have these privileges that you don't want to lose. For somebody like me who exists in a super fat body, I didn't really have those privileges to begin with. And so the grief was different, but it was more of grieving the loss of what would never be, grieving the ideal body that I was never going to get. So when I work with clients, instead of, trying to just attain acceptance in the traditional sense of like, I'm gonna love my body or I like my body. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. But can we allow the grief process to happen and also not be a jerk to yourself at the same time? Or do we curse on this podcast, or is this a PG
Yeah,
podcast?
you're welcome to.
I usually say like, how do we not be a dick to ourselves? That's usually
Yeah.
because it'll
Love
stick in
it.
your mind of like, oh wow, I'm being a real dick to myself.
Yeah.
That's innate. Being critical of our body is an innate, like, and actually, I would argue we don't grow, we're not born hating our bodies, but over time we've been conditioned to hate our bodies so that now, whatever age you are listening to this podcast, that tape of self-hatred and body hatred, that's the loudest tape you're going to hear.
Wow. Thank you. I'm like sitting with all of the like precious nuggets of wisdom that you have bestowed on me. I'm like, this is wonderful. But so insightful to apply the grieving process to our bodies, because I feel like you're so right. We usually see it in the concept of death, but it is something that is so learned and from puberty to having kids to just like, I think about so often, just like people's bodies change as they get older and it's normal. So, I am curious, would you consider anyone to, could anyone grieve their body, or is it really specific to that change, I guess you could say?
I think we're all body grievers. I think
Yeah.
our body is always changing. I think to the level of degree that you experience that grief is going to depend on a lot of factors. If you grew up in an environment where your body was praised and you were praised and your identity wasn't rooted in your body and what it was capable of, it might not grieve you in the same way as somebody like me who my entire existence was about existing a smaller body. And so I felt like a failure every time another diet failed. And so what I find is for a lot of people, when they get to this, right, to that fork in the road of, I'm either going to go down the path of health at every size and intuitive eating and making peace with my here and now body, or I'm going to keep trying this diet thing. They're afraid to not go down the diet thing. They're afraid to not go down the diet road because they're like, but what if this is the next thing? What if I was just on the precipice of finding, the cure? What we know now and what evidence, like research, empirical research shows us, is that we don't know how for how long. Like maybe you will find a diet that quote unquote works for you and you lose weight for how long? How long will that last? And so if I had to choose between changing my beliefs long term or trying to change my body and control my body long term, I felt that changing my beliefs was going to offer me the most peace now.
Yeah, that's so insightful. I feel like just when I first started really learning a lot about health at every size, intuitive eating, like anti-diet culture, it was kind of it really challenged my belief and I think society's belief that we can do anything to like magically change our bodies to like this quote unquote perfect body, right? It's like, oh, everyone can attain this. It's just a matter of this and this. And then learning that, looking at the science and being like, no, that's really not like as we think it's just like some, we just need to work harder or do this or that. It really doesn't work like that. And I think there is a sense of that's the first thing I thought of when seeing the name of like body groupers. It's like a grief of like, oh, like kind of a yeah,
Been
accepting
lied
what I
to.
am now. Yeah, we've been lied to. You're right. It's like,
You have been in
oh,
a
like,
diet culture for your entire life,
yes.
and now you're like, oh my God, none of this is real.
Right.
And I would say even take out evidence, take out research, take out,
Yeah.
give me five people in your life who have kept off weight loss for more than 10 years, didn't have surgery, didn't use drugs, and doesn't have an eating disorder.
Right.
I can't name, I think I can maybe name one person in my entire life.
No,
And
I
I
don't
don't
know
even know.
anyone. Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
we don't know. Like, we don't know
Right.
what they did to achieve those results. So when you have been told your entire life, this is what you're supposed to be doing, and then you're like, wait, there's another way. And it is the road less traveled, it is not the
Yeah.
path of least resistance. But what lies for you on that path? Because we already know what's on this one. We already know how this ends.
Right. And it's so unfortunate too, because people who maybe have in the short term, like lost some weight or like a crash diet or whatever that is, and then to be praised for that in your body and then just to gain it back, it's like, wow, your total self-worth is like attached to that when you're getting compliments. Oh, you look so great. And then it's like, oh, who am I now? Or was I not great before? It's like it never goes away, right? We're always part of this society, and it's, yeah.
What I'll say too to that is, like, this is what I call the difference between body satisfaction and body image, right? So body image, what is it, right? It's this, inanimate thing. How do we describe it? A lot of times we'll hear it described as, like, what you see when you look in the mirror. And that is one part of body image. That is the perception. But body image is also your affect, how you feel about your body. It is your cognition. What are the beliefs that you hold about how you feel about your body? And then what are the behaviors? What are you doing when you are with your beliefs and with your perception and with your affect? Satisfaction is liking the skin that you're in, liking the earth suit, right? As Anna Sweeney says, or, I like to say it's like the cup, right? This is my cup. This is my container. And there have been times in my life where I've really liked what the container looked like, but what it cost me to exist in that way, what it cost me to live in that smaller cup, was not sustainable long term. And it didn't improve my body image. The only thing it did was I got compliments from people in my world, and it made it easier to work and to exist in the world in a smaller
Yeah.
body.
It doesn't Yeah, it doesn't change that right, like that acceptance or the inner, it's like the inner work needs to be done, right? And in this process you're saying. So what does that look like for a lot of people who are going through this process of like grieving their body, whether like through a change or just, grieving not knowing that they will never like get this quote unquote perfect body, whatever that is. And what does that look like for people going through the steps and up until like body acceptance?
Yeah. So again, I just want to remind you that body acceptance isn't a step that we reach. It's not like a diet where it's like, this is my goal, this is how I'm gonna get here. One of my favorite stories is that I had a body griever. She came into a group once. She was like, "All right, Brie, how much longer do I have to do this? Like, I get it, I'm doing the things, but like, how much longer do I have to do this? For as long as you have a body. For as long as you have a body, which sucks." And I know people don't often like referring to bodies like in a relationship. To me, that was the most tan like tangential of like a tangible in the sense of, it's like it's imagining going to therapy with a partner once and being like, all of our problems are fixed. We're like, that's not how this works. Right, it's we got to work on the communication. We got to build trust. We have to understand what is going on. I have to understand what story am I telling myself. If my partner or my dad or my friend says something to me and it makes me feel some sort of way, okay, what was that? Did they say that, or is it how I'm receiving it? What is the perception, the affect, the cognition, the beliefs, the behaviors, all of that? And so the work that I do with people in healing your body grief is what I call unsexy body image. Right? So people were like, I want to wear the bikini. I want to go on the hot date. I want to get on Instagram. I want to take the photos. And that is great. We call those exposures. We love exposures. The problem is, a lot of times in this arena of body image, I see people forcing the sexy body image because they're still seeing a goal of like, but I need to get to acceptance. So I'm just going to rip the band-aid off and I'm going to do the thing. And then it leaves them traumatized. And then they're like, wow, I don't feel better. I didn't enjoy that experience. And now I have this memory of this being a horrible experience. Or that it just feel like, okay, I want to wear a bikini, but I can't even imagine that. So I'm not even going to put a bathing suit on. And so it makes us avoid the things that we don't want to do. So the first thing, this is the unsexy body image. The first thing that I encourage my clients to do is, one, we need to build awareness around where you're getting stuck in your body grief. Where is it coming up? What are you struggling with the most? The most common hurdles that I hear from people is, and it usually boils down to one of these three things. I'm worried that people are judging me. I'm uncomfortable in my body, like this feels uncomfortable, or what about my health? And so these three hurdles, I think they all kind of boil down whatever the hurdle that comes to your mind. Then what we need to do is we need to assess, okay, what is the story we're telling ourselves? If the story you're telling yourself is, let's say you have lost the privilege in your body of being able to bend over and tie your shoe, and you're like, but this can't be healthy. Okay, if we could improve your health and you could bend over and tie your shoe, but your body doesn't change, will that be okay for you? Is that enough for you if your body doesn't change, if it's not conditioned by weight loss? You'll have some people who are like, yeah, absolutely. I want to be able to do that. Okay, well, then that really is a mobility issue. There's things we can do. Those are behaviors we can explore. You can be mobile and flexible in a fat body. But for the people who are like, no, but I also want to be thin, then it's not really about health then, is it? So we have to build awareness around our thoughts. Two, we need to identify the stories that are coming up, and are they real? Are they true? Is it valid? Is it really what I'm saying it is? Is it a mask for something else? And then three is beginning to investigate and figuring out, okay, how do I create change? How do I identify that fork in the road? and say, ah, that's the path I could take. I'm not going to take it, but here it is, right? Like this is the path that's lined out. It's not going to be an easy path. It's not going to be an easy groove. This is what we call neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is this concept that our behavior and our thoughts are linked. And so that when you have a thought, there's a like a groove in your brain that's sort of like a almost like a like if you imagine like a like in farming, I'm imagining, or like a waterfall, right? If there's already a groove laid out, that's where your brain and your body's gonna go. That's where your thoughts are gonna go. What we are doing in this body grief is we're carving out a new path. It's not going to be a familiar groove. Over time, not sexy, with building awareness, active unlearning, and my favorite is also in community, we will start to see that groove, that eventually it's just going to go in a different direction.
Yeah, that's so important, having challenging the beliefs that are so uncommon today are rare. And I would say, like, and I think there is some sort of misconception too, because people are like, ah, body positivity, it's everywhere, like love your body. And it's usually a very simplistic like thing. It's usually it's not about like doing the inner work like you mentioned. It's usually trying to trying to get you to buy clothing from a certain store that doesn't even have inclusive sizing. So it's just like, yeah, I think there's a long way to go there of doing
And
like the inner work.
this is where we also like the body positive movement was not a feel good in your skin movement. It was started as a social justice movement. It was black, fat, queer women who were petitioning and arguing that they are demanding that they be have better treatment because they were not getting fair treatment. And so when we avoid exploring the social justice roots of it, what we're left with is like love your body, feel good in your skin. Like that's not it, right? It has depth to it. And I know when I first started, I was like, wait, I don't understand how it's a social justice movement. So I learned, and there's books that we can do more learning on. One that I recommend that is I consider it graduate level work, is Sonya Renee Taylor, The Body Is Not an Apology. A
Good one.
phenomenal book and understanding of the intersectionality of body image, body satisfaction, racism, body terrorism. She breaks it all down in her book. And she says this thing in the book that changed my entire perspective on body image. She says, I want you to imagine that the beauty standard is a ladder that doesn't go anywhere. It does, it has, there's no destiny. Like you will never reach the
Yeah.
top. But you have two
Love
choices.
that.
You can keep climbing that ladder, knowing it's not going anywhere. The goalpost is always going to move. Once you think you're getting to the top, nope, that's going to change. Or you can choose not to climb the ladder. And it is a radical act to not climb the ladder.
Yeah, such like more peace, I think about instead of chasing, right? The dissatisfaction of chasing something that will never be attainable. And I like what you said about, I mean, how, and I t completely agree how we're all body grievers. I think it, you see even or hearing people who are like models who have the quote unquote perfect body and they still have are so insecure. And it's like really just it's across the board.
Is that, I mean, that shows you that body image is not just about your body. It's about your brain. It's about your beliefs about bodies. And so I can sit here objectively and say today that there are days I look at my body and I don't necessarily love what I see, but I have a sense of neutrality that it doesn't deter me from living my life. It is not the thing that stops me from showing up in life. Intentionally, like I'm not the one. Like maybe I go to a restaurant and I can't fit into a booth, but I'm quickly able to, instead of going down the groove of this is your fault, of this is a systemic issue, right? Of if I go into a clothing store or I try to buy something and it doesn't come in my size, that's a systemic issue. If somebody rejects me on a dating website, it says because I'm fat and they don't find me attractive, That is an anti-fatness. That is a fat-phobic biasy issue. That's not my is not mine to hold. And it can suck. Can hold space for the suck. And I want to just make one clarification because I don't think I did this well. Choosing body grief does not mean that you will have more peace in the present. It means you will have more peace in the future. It's almost like reverse dieting, right? So when you're dieting, when you're losing weight, it feels good in the beginning. You're like, okay, I have structure, order. People are complimenting me. Feels good, right? And then it switches and it stops feeling good. And it stops, you're not getting the compliments, or the compliments aren't feeding you the way that they used to. Exploring your body image, intuitive eating, food freedom. There's none of that in the beginning, right? Nobody's complimenting. It's quiet. And you're probably in the minority of the people in your life who are making peace with food. So it is harder. And as you keep going and you experience and you get to re-experience things for the first time of, oh, I can go to a bagel store and order a bagel and it doesn't have to feel like trauma. I can, or I can drink a little bit of juice in my water and it's not a, cardinal sin. I can drink soda. Like, we get to reclaim these things that were once shamed. And then it starts changing how we show up with our body. And it is a slow overtime, that overtime unsexy, and time heals nothing. That adage of like, time heals old wounds. That is trash. That is garbage. That is not true. The only thing time does is it makes the wound more familiar. We can greet grief like an old friend rather than a stranger.
That's so insightful. Like, as we continue to grow, we need this, like, I don't want to say like a toolbox, but we need to have these things within us to be able to just maybe it's a aggressive, but to say survive in the world.
But
But
truly, because we live in a world like it's like the world is still in the cult, and we are waking up and we're like, oh my gosh, I have to heal within the cult. I have to figure out how to get out while I'm still in it. And that's where the community piece comes in, is when you can find other people who are like, yeah, no, that thought is bullshit. Like, that is trash. That is not correct. Or you can eat what you want and it doesn't say anything about you. If somebody doesn't want to date you because of your body, that is a them issue. If you don't fit in a theater or in a public space, that is an accessibility and a systemic issue. And sometimes being reminded of that with other people can be the thing that helps us heal, because we will be far more compassionate and loving and kind to strangers and to people who are experiencing the same thing than we are to ourselves.
I love that. And I love the concept of that's a you problem, not a me problem. It's a
That's my name.
society problem. Not that's not a problem with my favorite
I would say,
thing.
like, people say, like, no fucks given. And I'm like, how about less fucks given? Or like, I'm gonna give the right fucks. Like, control everybody. I cannot make everyone love me. And as a person who identifies strongly as a recovering people pleaser, the idea that I cannot get the world to love me by doing was a terrifying realization. And when it stopped being about my body image, it started becoming about my giving and me as a helper, as a therapist, and wanting to help people. And when it wasn't about help, like, it's just so ingrained. This is why I call it the dig, the body image dig. Because the more we dig, the more we uncover, and the more we're like, wow, I got work to do. And what's great about the dig analogy is there are times where I'm like, and we're gonna put a tarp on this. We're not gonna touch this. We're gonna keep going with what we've got. And sometimes that's the most resourceful thing that we can do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it is so important. Like, I just to tie it back to what we were saying, the stages of grief, and it's like saying that this will never end. It's almost like saying to somebody who's lost a loved one, right? It's like, when are you going to get over it, right? It's like, never, never. This is something you live with now, and this is like, there's always something. So it's like kind of the same thing, I guess,
It's
for thinking
exactly.
about their body.
It's I like to refer to it like being in the ocean, and you feel like you're drowning against the tide. If you fight it, It's going to suck you in deeper and deeper. The best thing you can do is surrender and let the ocean bring you back to shore. And it might come and pull you back in, but the more we resist, the more it's going to pull us in. And as somebody who's experienced bereavement and grief and loss, I will tell you, it does not make it easier. It does not make it not suck. It just makes it livable. It makes it survivable. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, one of the people who worked very closely with her, David Kessler, added a stage to the stages of grief. And because of his own trauma in his life, and that stage is finding meaning and purpose. And one of the things they say about this stage is that you might not ever find meaning and purpose in your grief. But if you can, it is the next stage. And so for me, the bereavement that I experienced in my life, I found meaning and purpose by figuring out how to heal my body image so I could help other people heal their body image.
That's so beautiful. And as you talk about supporting so many others on this journey, tell me a little bit about how you kind of came to this yourself and what your relationship was with your body growing up.
So I've always existed in a larger body, and I can remember even just as young as, you know, maybe being like 5 years old and knowing that I was, you know, short and much rounder than my sibling, you know, bigger than kids in my grade. And so I very much grew up in a family that was concerned for my health. And I will always say this, I always clarify, I believe that my family did the best that they could with the information, the resources they had at the time. And we, when we know better, we do better, Maya Angelou. And so, you know, I did something really well in my life, and that is masking. I learned how to be who people needed me to be, so that even if I couldn't lose weight, I still knew I could secure love. I knew that I could still experience safety in my world by doing, by being, by giving. And when I started going to grad school, I had a therapist. I'd been in therapy most of my life, and it was the first time a therapist called me on my shit. And I was on a diet, I was super disordered, and I was really struggling with my body image. And the therapist said something to me of like, well, why do you need to lose weight? And I said, because I need to be healthy. And she said, well, what does health mean for you? And I said, well, nobody's ever asked me that, but it's like, it's just like a known thing. Like, you have to be thin to lose weight. She goes, well, how much weight? I said, I don't know, but all I know is that for me, if I want to be healthy, it's going to mean that I'm, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, that I can, you know, eat fruits and vegetables, that I'm exercising, and, you know, that I don't feel, you know, out of control with food. And she said, well, by that definition, then you're healthy. And I said, no, I also need to be thin. She goes, that's not what you're saying. It was the first time somebody highlighted for me what we call cognitive dissonance of, you're saying this, but you're doing this. And so when I took away, okay, it's about, you know, health, it really became the underlying fear was that I will experience less love in this world because I exist in the fat body, that I'm going to miss out on things in this world because I exist in a fat body. And that was when I said, fuck, I'm going to have to grieve, because I can keep doing this thing. I can keep striving to change my body, or I can grieve that I won't get that body. And it was not easy, and it was not a straight shot. It was not, you know, it was not linear, as we like to say in healing. Yeah. There was a lot of distress and discomfort that came up during that. And this is what I teach now, is I was forcing myself to do exposures that my nervous system was screaming at me that I wasn't ready to do. And so now I am so in tune with myself that when I experience distress, I can quickly assess, okay, is this a tool moment, or is this a distraction moment? Is this a moment where we're going to explore this? Is there a moment where we're going to put this on ice? And what's even better is that I get to use this in every situation in my life, right? I'm coming up on a year of my offer being accepted on a house that I bought. And it
Congrats.
was, thank you. Probably, I would say by far the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my entire life. When I started this journey, the most terrifying thing I could have ever imagined doing was going to the bagel store and confidently being like, I would like a bagel, because the sheer terror I felt in my body, it was so unsafe. So it started with a bagel. It started with eating fast food. It started with getting rid of my food rules and getting rid of the negative stories that I was telling myself about food. It was changing the story that if I don't fit, it doesn't mean I don't belong. And that's when it started to permeate other areas of my life that I said, wow, like this isn't just about my body. This is as a helper. I love being a therapist, but I had a really hard time setting boundaries, and because I didn't want people to be mad at me. And I'm like, wow, when I teach this stuff, and it's so much easier to teach it than it is to do it in real life. Now it's coming up in like my dating life. I'm like, wow, it's just so interconnected. It's not a simple fix, but when you learn the tools, when you can explore your core beliefs, when you can challenge your negative thoughts, when you can give yourself permission to grieve, and grieving doesn't mean that you have to change your circumstances. It doesn't mean that you just fix it. It doesn't mean you can like erase it. That is when you will come to acceptance. And so that was sort of my journey. Finding intuitive eating was the last step for me in
That's
clicking
beautiful.
all of these pieces into place.
Wow. It is such a different concept than what we hear today. Like it almost seems like opposite body positivity versus body grieving. Very, very different feelings, right?
Absolutely.
But it's so unique, and just the way you're describing it and all the fun and impact that it has had on you is it's just incredible. Can you talk a little bit about the people who maybe come to you or what they're looking for or maybe what they get out of working with you?
Yeah, and so, I talk a lot about body grief because I felt so often that, if I would come to somebody and I'm like, I'm feeling uncomfortable in my body. There was like three things that people would usually say. Why don't you change it? Can you just focus on something else? Right? Or like you're more than a body. Or like let's put this on the back burner. And so I put such a focus on the grief because I remember it well. I remember the experience in my body. But what I tell people who come to work with me is that on the other side of the coin, if we have body grief, it means we can have body joy, right? Like if you think about anything we've grieved, if you think about bereavement, we grieve because we loved, because we felt deeply. And some people don't want to say love, so I'm not going to push you. You don't have to say you loved your body, but there is a loss, and that loss is causing you distress. And what information that gives me is that how do we get to exist now? That is acceptance of I'm not going to change what is, but I still want to show up and live my life. And so when people come to me, they are tired of changing over their seasonal clothes and having a panic attack because their clothes don't fit. They come to me because their doctor is not helping them with their illnesses because they're so focused on their weight. They come to me because they are having a hard time being intimate with their partner or dating because there's a story that's playing in their head of what if they are thinking this about me. I have podcast episodes for almost all of those issues that I just addressed, but even with the relationship one, I have people who have partners who they're like, I would never think that about you, and they still feel that. And I have people who have partners who've said it to them. So like there's so many different facets and different, ways that we can explore it. And so when people come to me, what I feel they're experiencing is hopelessness, is that they feel like they are in a very dark tunnel and they cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so what I say is instead of just being like, It's there. Just keep going. I encourage you
Yeah.
to look around the tunnel and see who's there with you. Because when you do that, it's still gonna suck, but it just sucks less.
I love that so much. I think that there's, I'm just thinking about it, how it much it applies to a lot of things, right? Like we're going through trauma or going through difficult times. People don't really know how to handle that well. And usually they're like, look on the bright side and look at this, or like it will be better, or some magical quote is gonna like magically fix everything, but it's the hard work, right? And the journey.
I call it silver lining sympathy. It's like you want to paint my pain with a brush stroke of silver lining. And like I want you to just think about like when you have, like the Alexander and the very good, no bad, horrible, rotten day.
Yeah.
When you're having a day like that, what is
Yeah.
the worst thing that somebody could say?
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, at least there's a new day tomorrow, or
Yeah. Yeah.
oh, it's not that bad, or it could be worse.
Yeah.
None of that is helpful. But what is? For me, it's somebody saying, hey, I see that you're having a rough day, and I'm gonna sit in this with you. And I am sorry that this is where you are. And that's what I do with people's body image.
Yeah, that's sometimes you just, I think that's what a lot of people, right? We'd be solution oriented and people would fix. And sometimes you just need a good friend to sit with me and be like, oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Like, just gonna, it's okay. Like, I'm gonna be here and you can cry or whatever. You know, I'm not gonna tell you to not feel your feels.
It's not, again, there's no pragmatic solution. If I had a pragmatic solution to heal body image, one, I wouldn't have a job. But two, it's like, again, because there's so many individual facets to it, what's going to help you might not help somebody else. And I like to think of body image a little bit. I am the queen of analogies. I apologize. I blame my
That's
ADHD.
great. Yeah.
I like to see it like an anthill, right? It's not a staircase where there's one path that you have to take. If you go down one path and you're like, oh, nope, there's one stops, we get to go down a different one. And that's what I do with people. I do a lot of, from a clinical perspective, a lot of motivational interviewing, a lot of narrative therapy, like narrative therapy techniques. I'm letting you tell me the story, and I am not presuming what you're going to say next. I don't have an agenda of how do I bring you to the next point. What I want to know is where are you? Where do you want to be? And what's stopping you from getting there? And instead of thinking of getting you from, this point to this point, let's say it's like A to Z, can we go from A to B or A to A1? Right? Like we
Yeah.
don't have to bite the whole elephant out like at one in one bite. We don't have to eat the elephant one bite. We get to take it one step at a time. And as people who don't like experiencing pain and discomfort, that sucks. And that's where the distress tolerance comes in. That's where the community comes in. That is where grief comes in. Of like, yeah, well, this is gonna suck. And we're gonna take it one step at a time.
Tell me more a little bit about the community aspect of this journey.
I think that diet culture has commandeered dieting as a part of the culture, right? Like it is normal in everyday conversation to compliment somebody's body size, to criticize food choices, to state out loud diets that you're doing. And so often we can feel alone. We can feel like I'm the only person who's not on a diet. I'm the only person who's thinking this. And my body grievers group sort of came from in a conception of I'd have all these body image clients, and I'm like, man, my 3 o'clock client would really get along with my 11 o'clock client. And they have such similar stories. And if I could get them to meet, like they would have community. And how would that change that story that they're alone? And I think that I know for me, having fat community, having community with people who are fat positive community, having people who looked like me, who thought like me, who struggled like me, it changes how you experience the world. Because then it's not just I don't fit, it's we don't fit. And we can go somewhere else. We could do something different.
That's so great. So powerful to have other people and to just support. Yeah, to feel like you're not alone in all of it.
Yeah. It's probably one of the questions I get asked the most is like, how do I find community? And it's really hard. I wish there was like an AA for body image. And there's lots of communities for weight loss. There's a lot of communities for eating disorder recovery, but there isn't just a community for body image for people who are like, I don't want to diet, but I don't want to be alone either.
Well, that's so nice that you've been able to connect people and kind of create that. And it seemed like a much needed community for sure.
Absolutely, for sure.
So one question I love to ask is, what do you love most about yourself that has nothing to do with your appearance?
Oh, what an amazing question. Now, for those that are listening to the podcast, they're probably used to this question. Several years ago, this question would have just given me so much anxiety. I would have been like, I don't know. I don't know what I love about myself, right? And so there's evidence that there's a method to my madness because now I love that question because I actually do love myself. And that's, I think, the difference between, toxic body positivity and genuine body positivity is like my body positivity. My positivity transcends my body. It's deeper than skin. And so repeat the question.
Yes, I know you're good. Tell me about a time, or tell, excuse me, what do you like most about yourself that has nothing to do with your appearance?
I think the thing that I love the most about myself is my ability to know the people I love well. I would coin myself as like a phenomenal gift giver. I just feel like I know people so well and I know what's going to make them feel loved. And it feels like a superpower in many ways because it'll just come up naturally where somebody will say something once and I'm like, oh, that's going in the bank and I'm going to remember it.
Oh,
So
that's a good one. Yeah. That's
that
so
or my
great.
love for animals. Like if you want to be my friend, if you just show me a picture of an animal, any kind, I will just be like, I want to be its friend.
I feel that so much. Do you have pets yourself? Or,
Course, of
oh,
course.
yes.
I have two cats, one that's an asshole and one that's, the love of my life. And he's so cute and he's so sweet. And I'm just like, he could do anything. And I'm like, you are precious. But I'm on animal TikTok. And I think there was like a big grizzly bear. And I was like, whatever, that'll kill
Yeah, someone I'm gonna get.
didn't want
Oh, and one other question for you. What is a time? Tell me about a time when you recently felt beautiful.
Ooh, what a great question. Time that I felt beautiful. So I work from home a lot and I do a lot of, social media. And so, most days I look like this, like I work from home. And so there was one day where I was going out and I was like, I'm gonna like put clothes on and like feel like a human being. And it made such a shift in my brain and I was like, this is the trap, is that people think being beautiful is feeling beautiful. And like it's I was just like, wow, like it was actually just like showering and putting clothes on and like going out of my house. And like I felt like I lit up in a way that I don't normally if I'm just here in my house. So yeah, so it's a good hack for me that if I'm having a down day, I know that okay, if I put some clothes on and maybe put a little makeup on, run a brush through my hair, that might change my mood temporarily, but it doesn't change how I feel about myself. And if I start to go down that rabbit hole of like, oh, I caught my reflection, I didn't like how I saw it, and I'm feeling really activated by it. For me, that's usually a sign that I'm really disconnected from my body, of, ooh, I need to figure out how I can connect to myself. So I think that's is just like when you can connect to yourself and connect to your body and it feels good, that's beautiful to me.
Yes. What do you think? What in those moments is there things that you'll do to like connect with your body or things that kind of work for you?
Yeah, it really is going to depend on what else is going on. So I don't even know if there's a way to quantify this, but one of the ways that I know that I am disconnected from my body is when I think I told you at the top of this call, like I get ADHD. I can ignore stuff really easily. I can compartmentalize it and be like, I'm going to go in a box. I'm not going to touch it. And so when I start to notice body image coming up for me a lot, I know it's a connection issue. And I'm like, okay, what can I do to ground myself? That might be going and standing outside and letting the cold air get on my face. That might mean hopping in the shower, lighting a candle, and just, listening to an audiobook or listening to some music and just connecting to the here and now. It might look like stretching. And again, as an animal lover, when I pull out the yoga mat, it's apparently family time, and Olaf, my cat, will be like, great, thank you for putting out this huge mat for me. But it's, and like, even if I just lay on the floor, he's like, finally, and he comes up to me, right? It's such a grounding experience. And so those are the things that I do. Now, if somebody else, it might not be like you, that you need to, do something. It might be you need to sit and journal and reflect on what's going on in your brain. I always know what's going on in my brain. I don't always know what's going on in my body.
That's so nice. I really appreciate your tailored approach to people and the nuances of what people need, because I think that too many times people may want to just put like a one size fits all solution for things and wrap it all up with a bow. But I really like what you're just ha throughout the whole call, just saying like it depends on what people need and how they act, and it is so true. People have just completely different things and experiences that they're going through. They have different needs for
Absolutely. I
healing
don't like
from
to
things.
speak in like, all or nothings. And I think diet culture does a really good job of that. And a lot of times when I speak, I think people hear it as an authority of like, this is what's true. And what I would rather you do is figure out, well, is this true for me? And if it doesn't feel true for you, well, why? What's going on for you? I get a lot of flack from people who want to continue to diet and lose weight. And I'm like, okay, but I have not said that you can't. That is not the words that have come out of my mouth. What I have said is that you can experience peace, acceptance, joy in the body you have without. You are only hearing that I'm saying you shouldn't or you can't. Now, why do I feel that way? Why do I believe that you can? Because myself and because of the people I've worked with who this is not accessible for them. I always think about it in the terms of if it's not okay for my most disordered client, if I wouldn't prescribe this for my most disordered client, then I'm not going to prescribe it to somebody who's in a larger body or in a different body or in a different experience. It has to be universal of this is we can do this without weight loss. We can do this without weight loss. So that's going to go for everybody. So in that sense of yeah, there is a little bit of polarization, but when we get there of and we get to figure out what that looks like for you. It doesn't have to look like one path.
That's so great. And it just relates to like a lot of like magical thinking around weight loss too. When I lose weight, then I will get the promotion, then I will go on the vacation I always wanted to, then I will, et cetera, et cetera. When so many times I feel like that, it can be holding us back from doing those things that a lot of them we can do right now.
Sure. And it doesn't leave it, that argument doesn't even leave space for you may not get the promotion because of the body that you exist in. Like that is the anti-fatness and the systemic issue that we can hold space for. But like, when people lose weight and they get so much praise and their blood work improves and they're experiencing all of these temporary and momentary benefits. It then becomes, see, this is why you should do this because of all of the things that I've experienced. And what we say is, for how long? Right? How long will this last? And I know for me that even when I lost weight, it never felt like I had arrived. It never felt like a soft place to land. Instead, it felt like anxiety of, and what, like, I can't gain any weight back. Like, what happens if my body changes again? What I teach people is if you can accept Doesn't mean you have to like it, doesn't mean you have to love it, but if you can accept the body you have now, it will not be conditioned. Your like for yourself will not change depending on what your body does.
So insightful. Thank you so much for all of what you've shared. I feel like I've just learned so much, and you have so many like beautiful insights. It's wonderful. The people who work with you are very fortunate, and they're getting such great insights. It's more of what we need to hear in the world.
Thank you.
So how can people find you?
Yeah, so I have a podcast, The Body Groovers Club. It is on most streaming services. I do it with my co-coach Jana, who is my biz bestie, and I say that she's the joy to my grief. I love focusing on joy. She's like, "Brie, we gotta have fun. We gotta focus on the joy." So we work really well in tandem. And then the other place you can find me is on my Instagram at Body Image with Brie. That is the best place to figure out what's going on in my world, how you can work with me, and how to connect with me.
So great. Thank you so much for coming on. Any last words or anything that we missed that you wanted to end with?
I'll end with this. No matter where you are in your exploration of your body image, if you feel hopeless, if you feel like I've been doing this and I want to get off the ride, I just want to hold space for you that this sucks. And I promise you, it's not going to suck forever. I promise you that hope exists, even if you don't see it. And I'm living proof of this. I would not have believed me, but I am living the best life I ever have, better than when I was in my smallest body. And I believe that that is possible for you too.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your inner beauty with everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of Ignited by Inner Beauty. I hope this episode served as a reminder of just how beautiful and worthy you are. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe, provide a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and share this episode with a friend. For more information about Ignited by Inner Beauty, please go to ignitedbyinnerbeauty.com and sign up for my email list to keep up to date on new blog posts and podcast episodes. If you'd like to support my mission of empowering women, you can go to patreon.com/ignitedbyinnerbeauty and receive some exclusive content and giveaways. If you're not already following me on social media, please follow me on Instagram at Ignited by Inner Beauty and Twitter at Ignited Beauty. Thank you again for joining me, and please tune in for the next episode.